In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My mother was brought up with a very simple faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, except that she had been taught a very particular way of looking at death, heaven and hell, and judgment. It owed a great deal to what she'd also been taught about right and wrong when she had been a girl, and reflected the way that the courts of justice worked, how evidence was collected, and that would lead to a conviction that could never be overturned. I remember once when I was being particularly obnoxious as a child during dinner, and my mother exclaimed, "God is writing all that down in a great big book, and you wait until the day of judgment." And of course, I know where she got it from. And I have to say, our reading from the book of Daniel always makes me shudder a little when I hear the court sat in judgment and the books were opened. Would my failing to eat those horrible peas be written down? The problem is, of course, that my mother, like so many Christians before her, believed that God would sit in judgment like a human judge sits in court, weighing up the evidence, consulting the sentencing manual, and handing down a punishment to fit the crime. Perhaps my mother was fearful of hearing the judge say the words, "Take her down," as in to the cells, never to be seen again. While judgment does indeed mean facing up to our sins, don't get me wrong, judgment is coming. But for the Christian, it also means something very different, because it always allows for repentance, a word that means turning around, a coming to terms with what we have done wrong, and the chance not just to make amends, but to make something better of one's life. On All Souls Day, if you were in church or online, I told you the story that the late Cardinal Basil Hume loved to tell about a priest preaching at a funeral who told the assembled congregation that he was going to talk to them about judgment. And you can imagine the groan from the family and friends of the deceased. But the priest went on to say, "Judgment is whispering into the ear of a merciful and compassionate God the story of my life I had never been able to tell." Judgment is whispering into the ear of a merciful and compassionate God the story of my life which I had never been able to tell. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux speaks movingly in a similar way about repentance, contrition, what Christians should believe about judgment. She says, "Lord, even if my conscience were burdened with every sin it is possible to commit, I would still throw myself into your arms, my heart broken with contrition, and I know how tenderly you welcome any prodigal child of yours who comes back to you." Certainly another title for Jesus' parable of the prodigal son might very well be the forgiving father. However, the prodigal son could only be forgiven because he had discovered the truth of what he had done. Telling the truth. How many times was I told the child to tell the truth at home and at school? I've only once had to give sworn testimony in a crown court in England as a witness to a crime. It was actually quite terrifying. If you've given sworn testimony in a court of law, then it is likely that you were asked a question when you stood up. Do you solemnly swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And they may even have added, under pains of penalties of perjury. Telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But just as judgment for the Christian is different from human justice, so is the Christian understanding of truth, because it's not simply about the accurate recalling of facts. In the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Living in truth means knowing oneself and knowing the relationship that we have with God, our Creator, our ultimate judge. Jesus came to reveal God's glory and his presence. And knowing Jesus means knowing the one who embodies the truth. As we read in the opening verses of John's Gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Coming to terms with my relationship with God means being truthful, not because it is a good and honest thing to do, but because being true to oneself allows us to discover our identity as a beloved child of God and how often we fall short in that relationship. Telling the story of my life, I've longed to tell. When we live our lives only for this world and what it has to offer, we cheapen the potential of that relationship we have with God, our loving Father. And when we judge others by the standards of the world, even when that judgment might seem justified, again, we cheapen the relationship that God has with the world. If you want an example of that, turn to today's gospel reading. Pilate stands as judge, a human judge, and a judge representing the abuse of power by Imperial Rome. In the encounter between Jesus and Pilate, we discover the opposites of human power and God's ultimate power, and it's expressed in a paradox by human reckoning. Pilate meets Jesus, the Word made flesh. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. God humbled himself, made himself subject to human justice that fell far short of God's justice. God's creative word was silenced in Pilate's chambers. Preaching at the beginning of the Gulf War, at a time when people were questioning what they should believe, Rowan Williams, then Bishop of Monmouth, said this: "The Christian gospel offers truth. It calls to truthful living. It binds us in unbreakable relation, both confrontation and kinship with the embodied Word of God, and ask before all else for repentance, without which there is no truth." The gospel calls for repentance, without which there is no truth. Or as we hear at the beginning of the baptismal covenant, "Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? The truth will set you free, said Jesus. Pilate could not understand this. He questioned Jesus about being a king, but the reality was he had no idea about true kingship. My kingdom is not from this world, said Jesus to Pilate. Pilate can only think in terms of human power, brute force, rules and orders and sentences with the handing down of judgment. Jesus came to bring liberation, justice, and peace by revealing the truth. For this I was born, said Jesus. And for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone, he says to Pilate, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And our gospel passage ends with those words today. But what happens next in the narrative is of huge importance, and you will hear it next on Good Friday before we venerate the cross. Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Pilate turns and walks away. After that moment, Pilate never questioned Jesus again. And thus he lost his own chance to repent, to turn around, to discover the truth, and yes, to be made free. The juxtaposition of these roles here is remarkable. Jesus, the Word made flesh, the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. Pilate, the soldiers, the priests, the Pharisees, a baying crowd. No justice, a lynch mob made respectable with a veneer of Roman culture. The irony is deep. Pilate sits on the judgment seat, and the Son of God is dressed as a human king, with a crown of thorns and a purple robe. You know the rest of the story. Pilate, as judge, does indeed say, "Take him down." Jesus went down to the cells, to the cross, to Hades, but he did not remain there. His story did not have an ending, but rather a new beginning filled with hope. And hopeful living is another way of living the truth of Jesus Christ. My friends, we do not have to be afraid of the truth, because Jesus is the embodiment of all truth. And when we seek the truth of our deepest selves, and we turn to Jesus and tell him our story, he will never, ever turn us away. Some words of Phineas Fletcher, which the choir usually sing during Lent. Drop, drop slow tears and bathe those beauteous feet, which brought from heaven the news and Prince of Peace. Cease not, wet eyes, his mercies to entreat. To cry for vengeance, sin doth never cease. In your deep floods, drown all my faults and fears. Nor let his eye see sin, but through my tears.